Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, a special Easter weekend edition. We are going to be focusing a lot more on the precious metals as, boy oh boy, gold, silver, those have been moving and the stocks have been following. Corey and Chad here, your hosts on this weekend show, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. We're kicking off this show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we chat every month to recap more longer-term moves in the monthly charts, focused a lot on the precious metals, but then we do also dive into some of the other markets. Let's talk about gold, because boy, oh boy, was March a good month for gold, and even as we're recording this, a bit later in the day on Tuesday, so it is earlier in the week, gold is over $2,000, silver is up above $25, and the stocks have been doing better. Doc, I've received a number of emails asking for your insights in terms of gold approaching this all-time high level. Let's just round it off to 2,100. Does gold get to that all-time high? And more importantly, does it hold?
This, in my opinion, is a much better move than some of the spikes we've seen in the past that got people excited. This is better in the sense that it's been a gradual move up over time, and that's what makes this much more solid. In fact, if we hold for the month of April up at these levels, we're going to close at a nice new high. And the positive, and I think I mentioned it last month, that what we needed to see was the 12-month on the MACD moving over the 26-month moving average, which we now are doing, which happened just barely in March, but April, the start of April, shows it in a good position. And that's very encouraging. So we're really finally starting to see both the gold and silver market looking much better from a long-term perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to go to the sky right away, and I don't think they will, or that the stocks will, because some of these stocks, and we talked this off mic, are kind of disappointing, like Newmont and Barrick, and were a couple of them mentioned, and the big majors just haven't made a move like I'd like to see, but the mid-tiers, a lot of them have, and some of the juniors have, which is encouraging. So I'd really like to see the mid or the majors start to move here to really solidify this. The other positive is where we finally got some good volume in March, which is a real positive. So there are some good things about this. We're going to have to be patient, because I think the moves up in these stocks now have begun, but it's going to be a slow move up and down as we gain steam over the next few weeks, until there's a catalyst to really start to have them take out their 200-week moving averages.
Well, Doc, this is the most constructive I've heard you in some time on the markets, and I think people will be happy to hear that. You know, if we just take a step back and look, you know, silver and the mining stocks really bottomed last September. They've been going up for 6 months with a bad February in the mix, but like you say, nothing goes up in a straight line. Gold really bottomed, triple bottomed over a couple months, but put in its low in November and has been trekking higher for about 4 or 5 months now. So when you look at the precious metal sector overall, it's been in an uptrend for, let's say, 4 to 6 months at least. And it seems like the tenor or the tone has changed here from people not being sure if it was going to hold or not to now it seems like most people believe the bottom is in and things are moving higher. Do you think, though, if we keep trekking higher here, that things are getting a little oversold? Because on a lot of the individual charts and even in the metals, things are getting a little on the overbought side of things.
And I think they have, Shad, because if we close up here for this week, we've had 7 weeks of higher closing highs, and that's a danger sign. And everybody's predicating this move on the Fed, frankly. And you better be careful with the Fed, because the stock market has not gotten tremendously injured yet. It looks like we're finally seeing some signs of the impending recession showing itself in the ISM data and also in the job openings data. And I think Friday's employment data might be nasty. So everybody's now thinking, oh, we're going to reverse this. The Fed's going to reverse it. And I would caution people that the Fed might not respond the way they think, because some people had the Fed reversing last July. So you better be a little careful. The Fed can cause more damage, but the odds are still with a 25% basis move up in May or to a pause. I don't think we see a reversal at all in May.
Doc, back to the charts real quickly here. You mentioned the MACD, the 12-month moving over the 26-month, and I think even more importantly, those moving averages bounced, or at least a 12-month did, right at that neutral territory. It actually stayed positive back in October, November. The last time we saw the 12-month move over the 26-month was May 2019, and that started a big run for gold. The other time we saw that was back in early 2016 when gold went on a bit of a run. The difference in 2016 was that the MACD was still in negative territory. You can also look at the Bollinger Bands, where gold, silver, they're hugging the upper Bollinger Bands. Okay, I get that the run is maybe getting a little long in the tooth and needs a short-term correction, but out of these chart factors or anything else that you're watching, what's most important to watch to make sure that this uptrend is going to continue?
That 12-month stay above the 26, that's the most important thing. If we start to see it dip back down to the 26 or even below it, that should sink. Send some warning signs to people. I think that's the most important. It's interesting on your strength indicator. Let's take ADX. The bullish green is actually heading down. And that, to me, is a little disconcerting, but not necessarily. It could turn up, but if that continues down, this is going to tell you that, and the red bearish turns up, we're going to have a correction yet in this market, but that'll tell us in the next 2 months whether that's going to happen.
Well, Doc, when we talked to you last month, it was on the back of having just been through a pretty rough February and we were coming into March. But now that we've had this big uplift in March and we're still heading higher as we move into early April, do you think we're out of the danger zone from some of these stocks needing to go back and test their lows from last year, and or the metals needing to go back and test those? Are we out of that position now and in a different setup in your mind technically?
I'll tell you what, the longer we stay up here or even trade down a little bit to challenge the median line of the monthly Bollinger Bands, the more than likely is we're not going to probably go down and challenge those again. The longer we're able to maintain these levels, and even with some correction, get, let's say, back down to 1850 or 1900, and if we can maintain that for a time, the odds are of coming down and challenging the 1618 level and in those areas becomes more unlikely with time.
So, Doc, focus maybe a little bit in silver then before we dive even more into the underlying stocks. Silver is up above $25. It finally broke out from a kind of a ceiling that it had there for quite a while at that about $25 range. Silver's even at a 52-week high. What's the possibility of silver continuing to move higher and even outperforming gold for a prolonged period of time?
I would be more constructive toward gold, Corey, because if we get a significant recession and you look at the supply of silver being an industrial usage, I'm much more bullish on gold at this point in time. Silver with time will lag along, I think, but I'm much more constructive with gold than I am silver. And in fact, the silver chart, when you look at it, I don't think we're really out of the woods yet on silver as far as the movement compared to gold. But it, of course, is looking much better, and it tends to want to hug the 50-month moving averages, which is a good sign, by the way. So I think silver will still move sideways. I'd be shocked to see it take out $25 on a monthly basis. We're getting close, but I'll be surprised if it does that.
Well, Doc, let's pivot over to the stocks then, because as we know, a lot of times the mining stocks are more closely correlated with silver than they are with gold. I mean, I would argue that gold going higher and breaking out to a new high will pull the whole sector up, the stocks and silver included. But if silver is going to lag, does that mean the mining stocks are going to lag?
I think, like I said, mining stocks have, most of them have seen their bottoms, especially the juniors, which I've been purchasing the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And I think the mining stocks will stair-step their way higher over time now, and it'll be a gradual thing. So any pullbacks, probably time to buy for the long-term investor, because we're starting to see the end of the tunnel more than we ever did. It's still out of ways, because I still think these things, as mentioned, we're not going to see a V-shaped move, in my opinion. It'll be a stair-step move over time until we see that catalyst that really gets the mojo going for these things again.
Haven't we already kind of seen a V-shaped move, though, Doc? If you look at something like GDX and the move down that it made from the highs of last year in April, straight down almost to September, and then almost straight back up, at least for a few months. We're not back up to those highs from April of last year, but overall, it does have a kind of V-shaped recovery.
Sure, you do, from the standpoint of being at such low levels, but when I talk V-shape, I'm talking about a move like we saw way back in 2011 or before that, where you just get a continual movement higher. And I think we're going to see pullbacks yet. And we're light years away from 41 yet on the GDX. We're just above where we were back in January. So I don't consider that much of a V. I consider a V like we saw back in 2020 when we just got burned and these stocks dropped a ton and then suddenly reversed and just shot right back up. This is just a small V. There's nothing to write home about, I don't think.
Well, Doc, another discussion that always comes up is why aren't the mining stocks outperforming the metals? But I find it to be a confusing question or puzzling when people keep saying that, because in general, the mining stocks have outperformed the metals lately. If you look at the last 5 to 6 months, GDX and GDXJ have gone up, you know, 50 to 70%. Gold didn't go up 50 to 70%. A lot of the individual mid-tier producers are up 80%, 100%. You know, some companies that are smaller producers or developers, or even some of the junior explorers have gone up 2-3x already or more. So the mining stocks are outperforming the metals, but yet that idea still remains that the whole sector hasn't gone up. Is this still a stock picker's market, or will eventually it be a rising tide lifting all boats?
The rising tide that lifts all boats, I think, is weeks away. So it's pretty much a stock picker's market right now, I believe. So you're going to have to try to pick the right companies. And what was really encouraging, and you made a good point, Shad, and something I've been looking at is when we had down days on gold, let's say a real sell-off, even recently, the mining stocks, it didn't impact them. And that tells you volumes. That tells you that these things are pretty oversold now. And especially with energy prices coming down, although OPEC may mess that up again. But even with energy prices coming down, that's a positive for these stocks. So the big positive, though, was when you would see gold taken to, you know, to the barn, but yet the stocks weren't affected much. And that told me, you know, this is it's telling us that we're in a good place here for the first time in a long time.
So, Duck, one thing, when you take a bigger picture look at everything, and kind of to Shad's point there about people complaining that the stocks haven't outperformed gold, they have done well on a percentage basis. But again, gold is just a fraction away from all-time highs, record-level highs. But a lot of these stocks, man, they're still well off of highs from 2020, even highs from 2011. to me, especially with how well gold is done here, really seems like there's a lot more upside in these stocks. Is it fair to compare gold at all-time highs and then look at these stocks and see just how far off of all-time highs they are?
Yeah, it is rather disconcerting, but I think people turn so negative on these metals and on the stocks. And then you got to remember when oil, price of a barrel of oil was so high, it was just killing these miners as far as their costs. Now that that's abated somewhat, I think that's a positive for them. And I think a lot of people didn't care about their cash flows. When you look at their PEs still look problematic for a lot of them. So I think people switched over to the way you look at conventional market stocks, their PEs. And they could care less whether these companies were generating cash flow. But actually, it showed how strong some of these companies were. So it was a positive, but I think people just looked at the wrong measurements.
Well, Doc, I know a lot of people like to get your thoughts on which kind of stocks you're getting positioned in. And when we were talking shop a little bit before we started recording, you had mentioned you had trimmed back some of the positions you had in some of the larger producers and were getting more interested in the juniors. That is the natural way of things, to see the producers move first and then things filter down the sector into the higher risk companies. Is that the approach that you're taking right now, rotating out of some of the bigger names and into some of the smaller names?
Yeah, what I did, because I felt, and I don't like to do this because I'm not a day trader, although I wasn't day trading really, but I was probably week trading, meaning that when I bought low on some of these companies, they moved up to the top of a particular technical range, I would sell. And then I'd take that money and I would keep buying some of the juniors. And I kept adding and adding and adding. So I got a good position in a lot of those. But and the only thing that could hurt me is if they go bankrupt, any of them, but most of them probably won't. So that's what I've been doing. For instance, you take a company like Coeur d'Alene, which a while back, you know, I had purchased in the upper $2 range when it got down to the Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart, which I told people that I often do as I buy then. And then it moved up quite a bit and I sold. Well, then it came back to that same area again and I recently bought a boatload of that. I like Coeur d'Alene's chart. I love it. So now I have it again as it moves up. But this time, when it comes down to find when it dips, sometimes I probably won't sell based on what I'm seeing, because I believe we're getting into that stair step thing. And I would probably add to it again. But that's what I've been doing. I didn't purchase companies like Newmont or Barrick or those, but that's how I've been playing a lot of this mid-tiers. I purchase, and I've said that before, I don't usually buy the majors. I like the mid-tiers and the juniors because you get bigger bang for the buck eventually.
What are some other stocks that you're liking then, Doc? Which other ones are set up like Coeur d'Alene?
Well, I bought a while back when it really got plastered. I've always liked Equinox. I bought a nice position in that, and now that's almost doubled. And I won't sell that one. If it comes back, I'll buy some more. And also a company that is Perpetua Resources. And now that thing has almost tripled, because I love the long-term look on that, on the monthly chart on that one. Those are, I look at their fundamentals too, but Perpetua is getting pretty close to topping here. Now, I think, but will I sell it now? Probably not. I'll be a long-term holder now. But those are just three examples.
All right, Doc, we're out of time here. But yeah, this is the most encouraging I've heard you maybe ever for this sector, especially when it comes down to the stocks. But they're still well away from their highs of just a couple years ago. So still potentially a lot of upside. But as I think you've tried to drive home here, nothing goes in a straight line, especially straight up. So there will be some dips here, but you're taking those as more buying opportunities and more buy and hold opportunities. We'll follow up with you next month, but overall, well, so far, 2023, it's been good for a lot of investors, but very good for the precious metals investors. Doc, thank you for your time. Hope you have a very happy Easter. We'll chat again next month. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.